Today is the 23rd Sunday after Pentecost. It is also the octave of All Saints Day and is the second commemoration in the Mass today. The epistle for the Mass today is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Philippians, chapter 3. Brethren, be followers of me and observe them who walk so as you have our model. For many walk of whom I have told you often and now tell you weeping that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. But our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, who will reform the body of our lowness, made like to the body of his glory, according to the operation whereby also he is able to subdue all things unto himself. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and most desired, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beg of Evodia, and I beseech Syntyche, to be of one mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, my sincere companion, help those women who have labored with me in the gospel, with Clement and the rest of my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. And the Holy Gospel. It's taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 9. At that time, as Jesus was speaking to the multitudes, behold, a certain ruler came up and adored him, saying, Lord, my daughter is even now dead, but come, lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus, rising up, followed him with his disciples. And behold, a woman who was troubled with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I shall touch only his garment, I shall be healed. But Jesus, turning and seeing her, said, be of good heart, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus was come into the house of the ruler and saw the minstrels and the multitude making a tumult, he said, give place, for the girl is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. And when the multitude was put forth, he went in, and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame thereof went abroad into all that country. Thus far the words of the Holy Gospel. But Jesus, turning and seeing her, said, be of good heart, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. These words are taken from the Gospel for the Mass today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, in today's Gospel, we read about two instances of human misery. The first is that of a father mourning over the death of his only child. The second is that of a poor woman who for 12 long years had languished under the ever-increasing burden of a grievous disease. The bereaved father was a man of wealth and influence, being the chief ruler of the synagogue. He had no doubt seen our Lord and heard his wondrous words and his power. And thus, in the agony of his grief, he sought out our divine Savior, for he felt convinced that our Lord had the power to cure his daughter. And he was confident. He was confident that if our Lord were acquainted with this heart-rending grief, he would accede to his request and he would go see his daughter. The ruler, whose name St. Mark tells us, was Jairus. He thus approached Christ. He dropped to his knees at our divine Savior's feet, and in a voice broken with emotion, he besought our Lord to come down with him and heal his daughter who was dying. My daughter is at the point of death, he pleaded. Please come lay thy hand upon her that she may be safe and may live. Our Lord did not hesitate. He immediately rose up, and he went with the chief ruler. Behind our Lord followed a great multitude of people who were eager to witness another miracle. In the crowd that followed behind him was the poor, emaciated, sick woman. Her heart beat with hope. He is so kind, she thought, so compassionate, so powerful. If I can but touch the hem of his garment, I know I will be healed. It was thus, with that idea in mind, that the woman slowly made her way through the throng of people, and she approached Christ. She drew near to him. She stretched out her hand, timidly touched the hem of his flowing robe, and she was instantly cured. Knowing what had happened, our divine Savior stopped walking. He turned and looked into the crowd, and there he saw the poor lady who was healed. And he said to her those words which she would never forget. Be of good heart. That is, worry no more, fear not. Thy faith hath made thee whole. He then continued on his way with the ruler. Now, by the time our divine Savior arrived at the ruler's house, his daughter, Jairus' daughter, was already dead. And the poor man's heart broke within him. He was too late. He had went for our Lord too late. But our Lord, knowing what the ruler was thinking, said to him, as St. Mark records in his gospel, "Fear not, only believe." Then entering the house, he took the dead girl by the hand, and he said to her, "Damsel, I say to thee, arise." And at his word, she returned to life. In each of these cases, my dear friends, the case of the woman sick with an issue of blood, and that of the ruler's daughter, in each of these cases, the situation from a natural point of view was desperate. I mean, the woman had struggled with her sickness for 12 years, and there was no cure in sight. Jairus' daughter was sick unto death with no sign of recovery. But while each was in his own desperate situation, how great was the faith of Jairus and of that woman, who, according to certain traditions, that woman was actually Saint Veronica, the holy woman who wiped the face of our divine Savior as he made his way to Calvary. How great was their confidence in our divine Savior. They realized without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus could deliver them from the crisis they were enduring. They believed in their hearts that our Lord was in control. Today, my dear friends, with what we have going on in our country, we need this same faith. We need the same confidence. We too must believe in our hearts, without a shadow of a doubt, that God is in control. Things may not be playing out the way that we would like them to, but when all is said and done, that really doesn't matter. What matters is that the events in our country are playing out according to God's well-orchestrated plan. That's what matters. We must therefore be patient. We must not try to play the part of God. We must trust. What faith, then, must we have? What confidence in God? And yes, while it can be easy to grow discouraged, saddened, and even frustrated with what is going on in our country, There is, and there always will be, great reason for faith and confidence. And it is a reason that cannot simply be ignored. She wears blue. She is the mother of God, and she is our loving mother. And if there ever were a reason, my dear friends, to have faith and confidence in these trying times, that reason is the Blessed Virgin Mary. For as a certain holy priest once wrote, when everything seems lost, it is then that Our Lady shows herself. Courage, then, he says. Courage. When everything seems lost, it is then that Our Lady shows herself. And show herself she will. The Blessed Virgin will show herself today in one way or another, as she has down through the centuries when situations in the world were most desperate. She will show herself today as she once did in France during World War I. It was in September of 1914, my dear friends, that the German army was making its way towards Paris. They were advancing so quickly and so effortlessly down the valley of the Marne River in southeastern France that they were convinced that they would take Paris, and at length that they would be victorious over the French. Paris itself, the city of Paris, was in complete and total chaos. The French government had already left the capital, and the panicking civilians were fleeing the city on foot, on horseback, on train, or by any means possible. And even though the British had sent reinforcements to help their French allies, the Germans still outnumbered them. In fact, the situation was so desperate that the military governor of the French army summoned 6,000 reserve troops to the front. His plan was to try to halt the German army along the Marne River. On that same day in Paris, the same day the reserves were called to the front, the Bishop of Meaux, Cardinal Marbeau, made a promise to Our Lady. He promised her that if she would spare their city, he would have a monument built in her honor. Furthermore, across all of France, people were on their knees praying the rosary, humbly beseeching the Blessed Virgin Mary to protect them in their great hour of need. Well, at length, the 8th of September dawned, the Feast of the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary. The mighty German army advanced towards the outnumbered French soldiers, and what history calls the Battle of the Marne began. But in the midst of the fighting, something inexplicable happened. The entire German army turned and began to retreat. Without rhyme or reason, every German soldier suddenly turned back from the battle. It was inexplicable. News of the so-called Miracle of the Marne spread throughout France in the coming months. But no one knew how it had come about. No one knew what made the Germans retreat. 4 months later, in January 1915, two German officers were admitted into a French hospital run by the Red Cross. They were wounded from battle, but they were as well prisoners of war. While they recovered from their injuries in the hospital, one of them noticed a statue of Our Lady of Lourdes. And seeing it, he was startled. He then exclaimed to his German companion, "Look, the Virgin of the Marne." The nurse asked him what he meant, but both soldiers refused to speak. A German priest later described what took place that September 8th, 1914. His words are contained in a letter dated January 3rd, 1915. The priest was a chaplain in the German army, and he had been wounded in battle. While he was in the care of some French nuns, he described to them what was seen by an estimated 100,000 German soldiers. As a soldier, he said, I should keep silent. But as a priest, I must say what I have seen. During the Battle of the Marne, we were surprised to be pushed into retreat because our numbers were legion compared to those of the French. And we expected very soon to arrive in Paris. But to our astonishment and confusion, we saw the Virgin Mary dressed all in white with a blue belt, leaning her head toward Paris. She turned her back to us, and with her right hand, she seemed to push us away. I saw her myself, and a good number of my companions also. Another soldier described the event this way. A virgin stood in front of us, clothed in white. With her arms outstretched, he said, pushing us back each time we had the order to advance. This continued for several days, he said, and we did not know if she was one of your French saints, Genevieve or Joan of Arc. But later we understood that it was the Virgin Mary who stopped us from moving forward. She pushed us back with such force, he concluded, that all of us as one man turned and fled. What I am telling you, he concluded, you will undoubtedly hear again, for we were perhaps 100,000 men who saw her. Paris, my dear friends, and France for that matter, Paris was saved from Germany by a most miraculous, special intervention of our Blessed Lady. And this, no doubt, was obtained through the fervent rosaries of French Catholics, as well as by their various other prayers and sacrifices. In 1924, Cardinal Marbeau made good on his promise to have a monument built in Our Lady's honor. He erected a beautiful statue of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And beneath the statue, he had inscribed these words, "You will go no further. You will go no further." My dear friends, as Our Lady would only permit the Germans to advance so far before she turned them away, so too will she only allow the enemies of the United States, foreign and domestic, to go so far. The day will come when she will say to them, "You will go no further." The day will come when she will bring low the wicked, proud men in high places. The day will come when she will put them to flight. The day will come when she will crush Satan's proud head for all eternity. Let us then not be downcast. Let us not be disheartened by the current situation in our country. As our Lord said to the woman in the gospel, so he says to us, be of good heart. Do not be worried. Do not grow anxious. Be of good heart. I have this under control. Trust me. And as he said to the ruler, he likewise says to us, fear not, only believe. Believe that no matter what happens in the upcoming months, believe that no matter what happens in the upcoming years, we have someone on our side who is far more powerful than any politician and who holds an office far superior than any politician could ever hold. We have the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Immaculate Patroness of the United States of America. And she has promised that in the end, her Immaculate Heart will triumph. It will triumph in America. It will triumph over all. Our Lady has promised us victory. She did not promise that it would be an easy road to victory. She never said that. She never said it would be easy. She promised that in the end, when all is said and done, when all the battles have been fought by her and by her devoted children, in the end, her Immaculate Heart will triumph. And you know, victory is always that much sweeter when the opposition believes that they are on the verge of winning and then it is taken from them. How glorious then will the victory of Our Lady be? And we, if we are faithful to her, we will share in this victory for all eternity. Let us therefore fight on as good Catholic Americans and devoted children of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Let us persevere in taking up the powerful weapon Our Lady has given us in the spiritual warfare, her most holy rosary, continuing in our efforts to pray it daily with attention and devotion. Let us hold our heads high by placing our hope and our confidence in the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, even as we strive to be beacons of light, hope, and strength for others, doing our best to inspire hope and confidence in those who have none by our courageous attitude and our positive outlook. And as we do this, let us be ever mindful, in light of everything going on, that in the end only one thing matters, and that is that we save our immortal soul, that we win the spiritual combat for our soul. Let us then spare no effort in avoiding the occasions of mortal sin and doing all in our power to win that combat. May then, we pray, the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Immaculate Patroness of the United States, the help of Christians and the terror of demons, may she graciously hear the prayers of Catholic Americans and beat flat to the ground the pride of those wretched men who would dare to trample upon her faithful children and crush out the faith which her Son came on earth to establish. For it will be seen again and again, my dear friends, as it has been witnessed so often down through the centuries, that when the Mother of God arises to protect her children, the enemy will go no further, and victory is sure. Victory against our enemies in the world, and victory against the enemies of our soul. For if Our Lady be for us, who is against us? God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.